I think that each one of you listening today know your body better than anybody else. And that's how I believe. I know my body better than anyone else. And God knows my body too. So I think it's getting to know your own body and being empowered by that. And again, that goes back to slowing down and some other things and listening. But that's where the power is, I think. And we don't always want to go there. So I would say start there. Get to know your own body.
So I don't know if y'all know, I was a personal trainer and nutritionist for many years. I was a gymnast for 16 years. I am still, obviously, an advocate for well-being and health and just living that movement lifestyle. That's ultimately where Fit in Faith was birthed, when I was in the gym one day and it became the book that is now Always Becoming. And it's just a huge part of my becoming journey. It's a huge part of my story and how I love to see people fully alive, mind, body, and spirit. Well, today's guest, Carrie Van, she and I are like simpatico in all the things, and she is teaching women over 40 to improve their health and wellness and live pain-free. This podcast is not just for women. It's for people who want to live a life that's better than a pill, right? And knowing that she's not anti-pills, I'm not anti-medication. It's just, how can we live completely well? And to do so, focus on all of these different ideas, mainly knowing that our body is a vessel and God will circumvent all the things that the world tells us because he is that powerful. And so it's an empowering podcast. It is a revelationary podcast. Revelationary? I just put revelation and revolution together. Let's own it. Okay. It's revolutionary and it's great revelation for anybody who is trying to live to 120 like me. Let's do this. Let's focus on it today and know it's never too late to get wholly well, fully well, fully alive. That's what we're here for. Let's go. Listen up. For such a time as this, we must grow our faith and business muscles. The self-help industry is trying to own spirituality and well-being. The entrepreneurial space is becoming flooded with business pursuits focused on success instead of sustenance. But the only one who can make us fully whole, fully free, and fully alive is Jesus. So I am ecstatic you walked into this hypothetical gym today. I'm your trainer, Tamara Andress, also coined an entrepreneurial rabbi, teaching the pursuits of God, which unveil our purpose and ultimately unleash our desired provision. This FIT acronym is for founders, innovators, and trailblazers. Here, marketplace ministers conversate and educate to build others from the inside out while also sharing their testimonies of endurance. So while it's not a fitness podcast, I do surely care about your mental, physical, emotional, relational, financial, and spiritual health. You're going to hear all about it. If you're passionate about your becoming journey, leading others to greatness, and living a life of abundance and joy, then you're well on your way to being Fit in Faith. Let's hydrate. Welcome to the show, you guys. We have Carrie Van here today with us, and I'm so excited to get into this. It was interesting as I was processing and listening to my own intro that's been the same for pretty much the same. I piecemeal it differently every single season for the last six seasons, but I'm like, oh, wow, me and Carrie have so much in common when it comes to that mind, body, soul alignment. The whole concept of what you do, even your podcast title, Better Than a Pill. I'm like, yes, I need all of this. And so does the body of Christ. So I can't wait to hear your testimony and why it is that you're activated like this every single day for others. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you so much, Tamara. I'm super excited to be here. And yeah, you know, it's like God has given me this gift to share, and my journey started when I was young, because I'm a natural born mover, right? I just love to move, right? And I think you are too, yeah?
Yes, very much so. I'm just like, I get it, my energy. I'm like trying so hard to sit still.
I know, I'm the same way, right? And I think my mom thought I was hyperactive, right? Sure. And so she was like, I'm going to put her in a creative movement class. And I loved it, you know, just this little light of mine, you know, all that, just moving. And, you know, that really just stuck with me. And then by age 7, though, I was told by a doctor, like, you have to lose weight. you've got to go on a diet. You have high blood pressure. And I was also getting teased a lot, made fun of by kids, you know, called names and stuff. And so I carried that hurt for, you know, some time. And my mom actually decided to put me in ballet, which was a positive because from the movement standpoint, I really love that. But it wasn't the healthiest environment for other things, eating and actually mechanically, I had no idea I was missing two joints in my feet. So my feet began to act up. And fast forward sophomore year in college, my feet ended up giving out and I had to stop dancing. And this was like, like when you find something you like,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Your identity is shook. Yeah.
Like what? And I pushed the limit. Man, God, no, you know, I pushed that limit, the feet, wrapping those feet up, doing what I could to hang on. And it was like, no, you can't do this anymore. So I just knew I needed to be proactive about finding other ways to move, have that freedom of movement. That's a life force, saving force. And God led me on a journey, basically. Got the education, the degrees, the different trainings, and, you know, along this path. And, I'll tell you what, I've been really blessed. I've gotten to spend time in different medical centers working, University of Pittsburgh, University of Maryland, Duke Medical Center, and things like that. And definitely, he brought me to work in weight loss, residential weight loss at different residential weight loss centers, which cool. I know is not by accident, based on my history, but it was, he also knows I'm really stubborn. And, even though I had studied this stuff and knew all this stuff, I personally was not using exercise and eating in a healthy manner.
Sure.
And, you know, it was like, it took me hitting a really low place in my life where my spiritual journey actually began, where I had to put God first.
Yeah.
That's really where it's at, right? I was like, okay, I get it. So I'm going to put you first.
I surrender. It's the white flag moment. I totally get it. Been there.
Wasn't being a steward of my body, right? He's given us his body. He said all this stuff. But so that really put me on the right track. You know, it slowed me down enough to actually, I had two car wrecks back to back as well, where, you know, he was like, well, she's really stubborn. I'm going to get her this time.
Right. I have several friends who car accidents have been a huge part of their journey. And it was like wake up calls for them.
Yeah. You know, sometimes we need those and God knows what we need, you know, and so like it put me in a place where I was forced to do things differently. Okay. And that's what I needed because I am very hard headed. And so that's what I did. And I basically listened to my body. I stopped telling it what to do. I understood the value of the mind-body connection.
Yeah,
our life force. God's given us a breathing, all those things, and developed like the pillars of pain-free movement that I now teach. It was like a stint of like 15 to 17 years, right? I began to bring people into my life and you know all that. But that's kind of like what happened.
Man, there's so many things I want to touch base on because it's not necessarily the area that you emphasized, but it's also something I'm in the midst of because I'm a mom and I see it every day. I want to go back to like the very beginning where you mentioned like the bullying and you mentioned your own weight journey as a child, because we know that we're facing a huge pandemic when it comes to child obesity. And I know even though you help women over the age of 40, that there's still that heartbeat and oftentimes that's going to follow them no matter what they walk through, whether it's body dysmorphia from a lens of, anorexia and bulimia, or it's the opposite and food is their comfort zone and their suppression mechanism and all of that. It starts young. I think all of it is based in trauma somehow. And so can you walk us through like how that part has been paramount to how you decided to get into what you did?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a level of compassion there, right? I mean, just great love. I had this feeling of when I saw somebody else suffering, like I was, and I just happened to be in a place where there were adults and it could be, could be anybody, right? But they were, being ridiculed because of their weight. I just had this in me like, no, I'm going to be your advocate. I get you. I've been there. And, you know, you develop that hate. It's a self-hate that happens. Yeah. It's a lie that's put in us that's just false. We've got to stomp it down. And praise God today, I can do that. You know, but it's like those lies are out there. And if they start young, it's even worse. Yeah. You know, it's like it breaks my heart. And that's not my heart last night. It's just, especially for children, having been in that position, I think they need, you know, if I would have known that I could go to God at that age, but I didn't, I didn't know, you know, if I would have had that tool, that's really the most important thing we can do for our children. That's it.
So good. Yeah. It's like a self-worth conversation more so than it is a body, you know, ailment or variability or comparison. But I do know specifically with the women group that you're dealing with and working with and supporting, they're moms. And so whether or not they have their own children or they're, you know, an influence to children, they've got children in their life that are watching them. And so it's so funny to me when my kids come downstairs in the morning and they'll hug me and certain days I'm all cozied up on my couch and then certain days I'm sweaty. They're like, oh, you went to the gym this morning, my daughter said when she hugged. And I'm like, I did. She's like, when did you go? I'm like, baby, I always go before you even wake up. But I just got back, so I'm still extra sweaty. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean – it's not me saying you need to move. That's not me saying you have to be a specific way to be loved because they know they're loved by the Lord. But it does encourage them to realize, like, wow – mommy's moving because mommy loves it and it makes her happy and it gives her energy. And so it's like that osmosis learning where they recognize, man, I want to move too. I want to be strong like mommy too. And so I think that there's this mirroring that also occurs when we can get our body in the best place possible because our mind and our heart posture towards that body are out of a place of love and not out of a place of striving. You kind of ended on that note of saying, like, I'm just so grateful I learned this mind-body connection and that it's not telling your body what to do. Can you unpack that a little bit more? That's so powerful.
Yeah. I mean, it's listening to our bodies. We're all uniquely made. And, you know, saying, oh, I need to adhere to do this certain way. I need to get, you know, pushing our bodies to adhere to some system or protocol that may not serve us best is just not always what we need. So intuitively hearing that, knowing that God wants us to love and take care of our bodies, because this is something that He gave us, and how each of us do that, I think, is an individual process, but it starts with paying attention and not pushing through pain. Like, that's a big thing for the work I do, right? Not, you know, listening to those things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that awareness. And I think the breathing and hearing our own breath, that's a life force. Mm-hmm. That's a movement in and of itself.
Yeah.
Slowing down enough to actually work on focusing and concentrating and getting to activate muscles that may be weak, that are very deep and hard to activate otherwise. Right.
Good.
You know, things like that. I could go on about it, but the level of mindfulness prevails. We need to be present. God is in the present, right? He's in the present. He's not yesterday. He's not tomorrow. He's right here, right now. So we need to honor that. That's a big piece when we do that. That's part of, in my opinion, mindfulness.
Yeah,
right.
Completely. And I think people write that off as like a separate entity, and we talk about it and we can raise our hand and be like, yeah, I know it's all connected. But oftentimes when we think of movement and we think of our body and we think of becoming that whole well body that we want to be, we're paralleling that to actual, like, a pace that is faster than just the practice of mindfulness, the practice of breath work, the practice of being present with Christ. And so I love that you even started there, because I know that that's not just a start. It's also a finish and an in-between and all the things. But some of the things that I noticed on your site that were also connected to my story is an element of pain. And I was a gymnast for 16 years. And so back pain, just like your foot pain, was something I just always had. And it was about a couple years ago
where I was so tired of being in pain. And I did like the preventative work. I went to a chiropractor twice a week. I worked out. I did all these things. I practiced, you know, stretching and yoga. And we can talk about yoga another day, because that's a whole conversation in podcasting and Christianity. But I was so frustrated with it. And someone introduced me to a sports chiropractor, and someone who is more focused in on like usefulness and helping your body move versus it just being like treatment towards managing pain. It's a very different thing. And I was doing the most bizarre chiropractic work that I ever did. Like, there was no like neck cracking or back popping. It was like this slow movement with pressure points. And I'm sure it has a name. You probably know it. And I will tell you, I very, very rarely, after almost two decades of going to the chiropractor weekly, very rarely have to even go or hold that pain. And so I want to encourage anybody who's listening is like, you might have been diagnosed. You might have been told that this is a pain you're going to have forever. You're just going to have to deal with it. And I know that you're a massive proponent that pills are not a part of that equation or don't have to be forever, and that there is a way to actually live pain-free rather than to manage pain. Can we get into that a bit?
Oh, yeah, that's where it's at. I mean, you know, anything natural that God's created, he wants us to, I feel like, let's go that route before, you know, before we put a pill in our body.
Yeah.
And then when that word, now we have side effects, we have addiction that can occur, masking of symptoms, right? And so there's so much available out there in natural remedies. It sounds like what you're doing is kind of like active release kind of thing. Yeah,
always.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And, you know, there's so much out there. What works for one person may not work for the other. And so just knowing, I think, what is available and that there are things that we can do for our bodies to help our bodies manage pain, prevent pain, get rid of discomfort, you know, in different ways, I think is important. I view it now, and I think it's a lifestyle too. There are things we can do, like you were describing, like really resonated with me, is like movement-wise. Yeah, there are things that we want to be doing with our bodies, especially when it comes to the back, daily to kind of help maintain it. We don't think of these things. We don't, you know, think of it, especially in, you know, mainstream fitness. It's like, yeah, our spine is central to our movement.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all of our movement.
Very much so. I mean, even sleeping, right? So I was like having such a hard time sleeping because my back was hurting. So it's like, that was not just affecting me being a runner or me wanting to pick up my kids. I mean, that literally, it hurt to hold my kids on my hip, which is already awkward and out and like not good for your spine. And then to have a painful experience doing that. And so then you have mom guilt. I mean, it's all of these elements. And so to focus on this piece that you're focusing on first, I think it's so variable to what everybody else is doing, to be honest. What made you approach it this way? Was it your car accidents? Like, what was the kind of the aha of being like, wow, this is different and needed?
It was getting to a very low point in my life, to be honest with you, where I had to reach out to God. I mean, that's what I kind of point to, because I spiritually was bankrupt. And so that had to come first. And that's really a message that I think I'm grateful to be able to share today here, because it's by putting him first that everything else fell into place. Good. That relationship was key. And then he guided the rest. Everything kind of fell into place through prayer, through reaching out, you know, through that relationship. So that's what I'll say about that, because we know there's power in prayer. Tremendous. You know, he's far greater than any of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's really honestly where it started. And then the rest fell into place, because by nature, Carrie Van is type A, driven, high strung. I get on the spin bike and outspin you. I've taught almost everything in fitness to date. I'm competitive. I like, you know, that's not, you know, he's like, whoa, we're going to like put a little reverse on you.
Because so I'm totally the exact same way. I mean, I was a personal trainer and nutritionist, and I was doing beach body workouts on the ocean front with groups of women every 5 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. each week. And I was the youngest of all the women, you know, I was just like, let's go. And I'm literally speaking into women who are double, maybe three times my age at that time, not listening to any of their pain excuses because, you know, I'm 20 years old and pain, what's pain? Just fight through it, right? So I look back to that girl and I'm like, oh, sweetheart, if you only knew, right? Because now I'm getting to that point where I understand the, oh man, I'm feeling this harder to get up off the floor. And there is differences in each decade, what your body experiences. But when it comes back to youthfulness and getting that youthfulness from Christ, I have this age. I told you pre-roll is going to tell you my age desire. There's communities around the world that are in blue zones that are living to 120. And what they know is their reason for being. It's called an ikigai. It's a Japanese phraseology. They know their reason for being. And as I unpacked that, as well as understanding scripturally that the Lord literally is like, we're going to let you live till you're 120. And many, many, many biblically have, and there's many still doing it now. And you just see these people, they're still working. They're still putting energy out into the world. They're still smiling and they're getting to see their third generation, their fourth generation. And I am raising my hand. I'm like, how do we get to 120 joyfully, right? And how do we do that and like look good, feel good, and know that it's for the Lord? Like it's not in our own pride. It's not in our own ego. It's not in our selfishness because we want to be around. It's literally like, because I want to keep expanding the Lord and expanding his will here on earth. And so tell us some of the things, because you have this complete well body method that you teach specifically. And I know you also mentioned the other method that you teach. Tell us how those are going to help. I'll just be selfish. How's it going to help me, Carrie? How am I going to be able to have that longevity?
Yeah. So, you know, 100% my expertise is in the physical injury prevention, pain management, and there's crossover between what we need to be doing for our bodies to prevent pain and also deal with injuries and discomforts and everything.
Yeah.
I think that my strengths are looking at optimally everything we need to be doing to maintain back health, knee health, shoulder health, hip health, neck health, you know, foot health, just based on my experience. And it's not just one thing that we need from that physical standpoint, we need several. So just going to the gym is not going to cut it. You know, just doing stretching, flexibility, yoga, whatever is not going to cut it. Just doing something like Pilates is not going to cut it. Getting a massage, like I think I said, that's not going to cut it. PT, chiropractic. So we need like a comprehensive thing. So kind of like that's what I honed in on. Like how do we kind of combine all those things, kind of like I feel like sometimes like three practitioners in one, but that's kind of the approach I have taken only based on what I've seen and then intuitively knowing that from the physical standpoint. Now, then we put in the other things too. Like we know that our minds are important. Mindset is really important. And like I already said, spiritually, that's important too. And a lot of people that I'm working with are coming from a place where they don't know Christ. They don't know. And I understand that. I get it because I've been there. Mm-hmm. And so like I love to speak on the things that are helping me. And I will claim my faith. I will claim my belief. And that's it. As an example, you know, just that's it, you know, just sharing that road and leaving the wounds. But I think that, you know, there's a lot. I mean, it's so important to understand that, you know, we can do everything we want for our bodies physically. And there's a lot to that too. Nutrition, like we're talking about all that stuff, right? Everything's combined in there, you know, and it's all important. But, you know, we nourish. What do we nourish with? What? The fruits of the spirit, right? So that's, you know, that's our nourishment, you know, like that's really, you know, kind of infusing that in there. And that's, I think that's my gauge too. Like, how am I in these fruits right now? Like what's going on here? You know, so that's one piece. You know, for example, we could be really, really fit, but we're going to be worrying all the time. We have no peace. That's I just learned the other day, that's one of the major causes of all the autoimmune disorders in this world today, you know, worry.
Stress. Yeah, worry.
Yes. Yeah. Or whatever it might be, fear.
Sure.
We've got all kinds of layers there. Good. Yeah.
You know, I was processing even like last fall, I walked through just a season of disappointment connected to my business specifically. Like my home front was good. My mothering journey was good. I had a lot of really beautiful dynamic relationships, but business was just some heartbreak that occurred. And I went through about this 8-week time frame during my favorite time of year, which is summer. I want to be outside to move as often as I possibly can. And I was finding myself sleeping through the night, not with back pain, thankfully. I would wake up, have my time with the Lord, and I was just had no motivation to get up and go move. And the Lord was so kind and so generous during this time that I would literally be like, God, just help me have energy. And I would fall back asleep for 2 more hours in like the most uncomfortable situation. I'm one of those people, I need the lights off, I need my cozy pillow, I need my earplugs, I need the sound machine. And y'all, I was just passing out. I would wake up to full sunrise in my living room and the people coming downstairs and my family. And they're like, are you okay? Is everything okay? And it was just like my body was just sleeping away disappointment. And I think that there's times, even though movement would have been amazing for me to like get those endorphins going and have the serotonin levels shift and all that stuff that comes biochemically when we move, I also know that there are seasons where like that doesn't have to be the overdrive way that I show up. And so when you mentioned just like listening to your body, it was, I was really tired because of disappointment. And I never, ever in my life experienced the two of those things together in that mind-body connection or lack thereof. So I resonate with what you're saying so much. I want to speak to the pill side of it a little bit more because I do know in the same context of stress and anxiety and depression, you mentioned the suppression of pain. And how that's often what people, even kiddos, are being directed to very early. What are some ways that you can help people, whether they're already using medication to get off of it or to help address kind of more face forward rather than utilizing that as a simple solution?
Yeah. So, of course, you know, one of our biggest tools for longevity is movement, right? And like you're a big fan of us. Like if we just keep it simple, for some people that aren't even moving, 10 minutes can make a huge difference right there. And that's what studies have shown. We can improve a lot of aspects of our health by getting up and moving for 10 minutes. For some people, that could be a walk. If you have issues where you can't walk with, I've been there, you can get to the water. You can do deep water running. I don't run on land because I can't, but I can run in the water in that deep end. And you know what I mean? Whatever, my dude.
Right? So good. Yeah. Love it. So
you know, a bike, whatever it is, but just moving because that puts us into action if we can. If we can, there's other things that we can do too, in, you know, as well. But just, I think from the standpoint of so much for our mental health. So movement like that helps with anxiety and depression. Then on the flip side, if we can focus on the slowing down aspect and maybe apply that to, let's just say, I'm just going to use a breath work and like stretching or restorative type work, you know, we can also help our nervous system and anxiety and depression too. So we have both. And then I think it's finding the balance and knowing when to pull from what, because there are times, and I've been there now at this point in my life where I've had to not go or push my body like you've just described, but I could still take care of it with using those other tools. And, you know, that's like a big thing for me, like wanting people to know that that's out there. And I'm not anti-pill. I will say there is sometimes there's a purpose for pills. But I do see a lot of the negative side effects. And I do see a lot of people that are on pills wanting to get off pills. And that happens quite a bit once they begin doing certain things, lifestyle based, right? And I understand that. I have had to take medicine before in my life. I've hit places where I've even had a doctor tell me you're going to be on this the rest of your life. And I said, you know what? Thank you so much. But last time I checked, you weren't God.
Let's go.
And I may have said that to him. I don't think I just thought it.
Feisty. You're like, okay, don't speak that over me.
You better not speak that over me because I'm not on it today and I haven't, you know, felt the need to tell him. But yeah, that's a driving point behind the podcast that I have.
It's so good though and so necessary. It's just like any label, right? You mentioned the childhood trauma thing. Like that can be very traumatic for somebody who is, it doesn't matter what age you are, to understand that your whole life is about to shift and you're going to be on medication forever. I have a girlfriend walking through that right now, and it's disheartening, especially when you have prioritized your health in so many different ways. You've mentioned nutrition a little bit. And I know one of the things that the Lord really corrected in me when I got to know him and to know myself in his image and to carry myself like the temple that I am rather than it just being something that I use and abuse or the opposite sex gets to use and abuse because of the way that the sexualization has occurred, especially for women and the expectations and all of that. But it was associated to my nutrition and what I was actually putting into my body and how often I was putting food into my body and the things that were actually a suppression without me knowing it, like gluten and heavy carb overloads and the comfort foods, right? Yeah. Like whoever gave them that word is terrible because you just, that's the first thing you think of is I'm going to go to comfort food. And I'm like, no, comfort food should be crunchy. It should be fresh out of the fridge. It should be right from the ground. That's a comfort food because you know it's coming from God. But we're going to comfort foods that are filled with terrible things that are not comforting anything, especially our digestive system. So what are some of the ways that like you focused on that piece too and the connection of what we're eating connects to our body and our mind?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There's so much. I had to unlearn everything I learned in school. Everything. Everything was false. Everything was false. All that stuff, none of it holds. I do think having a basic understanding of what macronutrients are and key nutrients are and all those things is helpful. Yeah. You know, serving sizes, portion sizes, you know, all those things are helpful. What if, again, there's that element of mindfulness, right? Yeah. Paying attention, listening, slowing down. Our body's going to tell us what we need. And that's what happened for me. And like you just described, the best thing we can do, you already nailed on, is stop the processed stuff, the stuff that has all that stuff that's not natural, all that comfort food that I had to stop as well. I got rid of gluten too. Carbs, I've, you know, at this point, talked to so many different experts, and you know, it's just that that's one of the biggest things that can harm our body, especially as women, our glucose levels, throwing us out of order, hormones. So I think that, you know, natural, but even understanding that if I'm going to have an apple for me today, I'm going to couple it with some healthy nuts because that's going to keep my blood sugar a little more steady. And for me, I had an autoimmune disorder diagnosis of Hashimoto's, understanding that that's going to help me not have to drop so low, which was happening to me like at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. I'm like you, like, and I wanted to take my kids on a hike and I couldn't make the hike. That was really a struggle for me. I'm not like that today, but I'm off gluten, not doing that carb loading stuff, natural foods, you know, get rid of the sugar, get rid of the sugar. Yeah. I'm not 100% perfect. And I don't like that word. There's only one thing, one we know. Okay. But it's like, I give myself grace to have things that my soul needs. And that includes dark chocolate or dessert, you know, because that brings joy, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I tell people, like, you know, you find whatever you need to give yourself the joy. But in overall, we do the best we can. And I think that's really what we need to do. We move in that direction. And as a busy mom, business owner, I know that that I do have to kind of sometimes modify things. Yes, I do the grass-fed meats, the organic meats, all that stuff. I believe in. I try to stay educated as much as I can. The whole vegetables, all those things, getting that in there, doing the best I can with my kids. Supplementation, if I can't get them to do things, smoothies. Yeah, you know, it's a big fan of that. Getting my stuff in that way. Yeah. I have stopped the coffee, although I did start drinking it again, and just like, you know, this isn't feeling good. You know, I'm not saying there's a right or wrong with that because I think that some people's bodies can handle it. And my dream is to get a good coffee back into my body eventually, maybe chicory or whatever it is, because, you know, I love coffee.
Yeah.
That's like,
I get it. I totally, you know, get too. Yeah.
So it's going to happen at some point. And so like, you know, Starbucks may not be the best, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you know,
we do, I do a mushroom coffee called, I think it's, think, think, is what it's called. And yes. I really like it. It's like lion's mane, mushroom base. It's really good. My husband actually gave up coffee during a fast, which was another thing I wanted to bring up with you at the beginning of the year. And he was like a coffee fanatic. I mean, he would drink it all day long, and yet he would say that it didn't affect him, and he could drink it right before he goes to sleep, but it really mm-hmm. was affecting him. He just said it wasn't affecting him. And so we went on this 3-day water fast, and he basically crashed during it. I mean, he was like throwing up. He was having body shakes. He was having to take hot baths during the day. And we just thought he was extended from a sickness that he had had the week before. And he realized that it was that, like, essentially, well, he also took all of his supplements on an empty stomach, which doesn't help. Mm-hmm. And so, but he's like, I always have it on an empty stomach. And I'm like, nah, you usually have milk, like a latte has a lot of not empty yeah. inside of it, right? So he lost like 10 pounds in about a week's time frame just from not having lattes all day. Imagine that. It's all the milk, right? And so it's interesting to see when you take that pause, and it didn't have anything to do with movement. It was just a fast. And so what is your encouragement? Because we're about to go into a new fasting cycle here again. The Lord had us start our year that way, and he inspired us through it. That the first of every month, we're going to do a 24-hour water fast. It's going to be a 3-day fast, but I found out that you can't do 3-day water fasts as women that often, because it can mess up your menopausal kind of hormone levels. So 24-hour water fast, but we're going to do 3 days of some other things in the process. Have you ever encouraged that to be kind of that, like, let's re-engage after we do this fast so that you can kind of really monitor what your body does and doesn't like versus what your mind thinks you need?
Yeah, I think there's power in doing some type of fast or detoxification for the body. And naturally, I had to do that just with the Hashimoto's, let go of a lot of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking to different functional nutritionists and doctors today, that there is that recommendation of not giving our body any nourishment for 12 hours. And that can be done for some people while they sleep.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So I think it's knowing what works for you as an individual. And also, because there can be other medical issues going on with people, sure. honoring that piece too, making sure that it is safe. And because sure. there can be repercussions with different types of fasting for different types of issues going on in our body. So, like, you know, just knowing, checking with your doctor, for example, that you trust, or somebody that, you know, saying, okay, this is okay. This is what would be the best advice I could say for that. But getting rid of all that stuff. I get what you said about the coffee, because when I stopped drinking that, it was like your body naturally, it's like, God,
yeah.
it's detoxing. It's getting rid of, there's a lot of things I think that I would like to do that. Actually, that's one of my checklists. And I'm glad you mentioned that coming up, is like a week long detox or something
yeah.
myself, just to kind of
yeah.
get a gauge. Okay. What am I not needing? How's this going to help me? I think that
yeah.
there's power in that for sure.
Yeah. We even invited our kids in to do it during the month of January. We did a sugar fast with them, because of course, after the holidays, you're mm-hmm. like, all the cookies, mm-hmm. all the things are like right in your face 24/7. Everything has mm-hmm. a cupcake or a cookie or a pie or something. And so I was mm-hmm. like, guys, we're going to do a 31 day sugar fast. And they were not excited about it, obviously. But at the same time, what I found about week two, we would get new fruits or just, you know, go grocery shopping. And they were like, like just enjoying the sugar of a fruit. Huh. Natural sugar. And they were like, this is so good. I'm like, isn't that interesting that mm. you can actually enjoy the natural sugar that's being given to you versus yeah. needing to crave a brownie or a cupcake or whatever is happening. So they're very excited because we're taking them out for some vegan sweets on Wednesday at the end of their fast. But I just think exposing our children to these kinds of conversations sooner mm-hmm. rather than later, so we aren't 40 years old feeling like, I've never been taught any of this. And so mm-hmm. it's something I'm really passionate about. And I love that it was a connection point for you from the beginning of your story all the way to how you're training up people now. How do you encourage people? I know you've got your podcast as a wealth of information that people can come into. What are some other ways that they can get in touch with you? I want them to have all the resources that they can.
Oh, thank you. So I would say movementcraft.com, my website, carrie@movementcraft.com.
So good.
You can reach out to me there.
All of that will be in the show notes, you guys. So be sure to check out. I know she's got some freebies over there that you can check out. The first one I saw, of course, because of my previous back pain, 3 ways to prevent and relieve back pain. And I'm like, let's go. We need this, you guys. We need to know that it's possible and it doesn't have to be done through all of these mechanisms that we were speaking to. Carrie, you have been so amazing. Are there any like final just words of wisdom or encouragement for the listeners as they've been processing all of this, especially if this is new information for them? It can feel cumbersome. It can feel like there's no way I'm going to get to the point that Tamara and Carrie are at. And I still have a ton to learn. And I know you're still like, I need to do this thing too. Is that it's a becoming journey, but what are some areas that you would speak into?
I think that each one of you listening today know your body better than anybody else. And that's how I believe. I know my body better than anyone else. And God knows my body too. So I think it's getting to know your own body and being empowered by that. And again, that goes back to slowing down and some other things and listening, but that's where the power is. I think, and we don't always want to go there. So I would say start there. Get to know your own body.
That's so good. There's so much like self-reflection in that and self-development work, even of just like identity. And that's again where we both started. And God started with us in that. And so He takes His time. It's not a race per se, but He does want you well. We want you well. And if we're going to live to 120 and have a party, we got to have some movement in these bones and fluidity in the process. And so I'm grateful, Carrie, that you are along and just speaking truth and life into people and knowing that it's through a grace space is so beautiful. So even if you're listening and you are not necessarily understanding that connection of spirit and how Holy Spirit is a part of this process, man, I would really encourage you to engage, because my whole life changed when I brought Him into the gym, when I brought Him into the kitchen, when I brought Him into my mirror moments, when I brought Him, well, I don't weigh myself, but I didn't for a long time, don't need to, because I bring the Holy Spirit into it. It's so much more about how I feel than it is about a number, than it is about a pant size, than it is about anything else. And so I'm excited for you to get in touch with Carrie, and I'm grateful that you're on the show today.
Thank you so much. It's been really a blessing. Thank you.
Likewise, y'all. Thanks so much. Hey, y'all. It's me again. Before you go, let's solidify the flame that was ignited within you today by sharing the spark with your own community. Whether it's mentally, physically, emotionally, relationally, or spiritually, I would love for you to take the step right now by declaring your takeaway. Snap a pic of the episode and share it on your stories or posts, and you can tag me and the guests, and we will surely feature you on our Instas. Hey, you may even unlock a new accountability buddy in me or them. We're totally in this together, and we appreciate the extra step taken. I would be so grateful if you even took the extra step. Come on, give me that extra sauce and leave a review on iTunes for the podcast listening app that is of your choice. I'm going to be featuring your thoughts, in fact, and this is going to be so fun in upcoming episodes. So you'll not only hear your name on the show, but maybe even your passion project or whatever big shout out you want me to make. So please, as a fellow writer, leave some words that I can attest to, and I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thanks again for being a loyal listener, and I hope to meet you in person soon at one of the events that we are speaking at or hosting. And I say we because the Fit and Fake team could not do this without you. Until next time, blessings over your joy, health, wealth, and wholeness. This is the Fit and Fake Way. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us and this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network, which is obviously why we got connected and are so grateful to be a part of the community. They have shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. Some of mine that I listen to on a regular basis are on Life Audio. Even some of our community members who have been a part of the Fit and Faith team through our coaching or different organizations, they're there too. So I definitely want to drive you over there, check it out. And thanks again, Life Audio, for being you.
Need more of God's power in your life? I'm Christina Patterson, host of the Teach Us to Pray podcast, providing practical tips on how to grow your faith through prayer. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.